Join investigative journalist Penny Faree every Thursday morning at 9:30 on a weekly deep dive into the heart of what's hot and happening on the North Coast. From municipal service delivery drama to local news and social issues of interest to the greater Palito region, this show is packed with content gleaned from impeccable sources. You have the right to know, and all will be revealed each week on Uncensored with Penny Faree, proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security.
That's right, and it is Thursday morning. It's just gone the other side of 9:30, and it is time for Uncensored with Penny Faree, who is in the studio with us right now, fresh on a Thursday. Penny, how's it going?
Good morning, Mike, and good morning to our listeners, and welcome to another episode of Uncensored, the show that takes a closer look at the social issue shaping life here on the North Coast. Today, we're diving into the ongoing water outages that have become a daily struggle for communities in Kwadukusa. For many residents, this crisis has now overtaken even load shedding as a daily point of pain. Joining me for this discussion is Sipho Zungu, a local Stanger resident and politician currently serving as a councillor for Action SA. Sipho is also a committee member of the Blythedale Ratepayers Association. And yes, welcome to the show, Sipho, finally. When you're here live on studio, we normally hear your voice bites over the air.
Hi, Sipho, welcome.
Yeah. Good morning, Penny. Good morning, Radio Life and Style and the listeners. Yes, it is finally time for me to be here live.
Yes. Now, for those new to the area or not entirely familiar with the lay of the land, I'm just going to give a quick breakdown on how the North Coast is structured. The Ilembe District Municipality is the umbrella body within which four local municipalities operate. We've got Kwadukusa, which starts from Balito and includes Stanger and the surrounding areas. We've got Dwedwe, Mandini and Maphumulo. Now, Ilembe District Municipality serves a dual role. They're both the Water Service Authority and the Water Services Provider for the region. This means it is solely responsible for the planning and delivery of water and sanitation services throughout these municipalities. In addition, water services in the Dolphin Coast, which include Balito, are managed through a public-private partnership with Caesar Water. This concession agreement allows Caesar Water, which is a private company, to deliver and manage water and its sanitation services in a specific area under Ilembe's oversight. Now, this concession with Caesar was signed in 1999 by the former Dolph Coast Municipality, which now is incorporated into Ilembe. It's a 30-year private partnership with Caesar Water, and it's running until 2029. The concession area spans a wide spectrum from high-income residential zones to underdeveloped rural communities. And some of the key areas covered in this concession include Zimbali, Balito, Mshlali, Sharkers Kraal, Sharkers Rock, Salt Rock, Sheffield Bay, Tindi Manor, Shayamoya, and Etete. Now, those are the concession areas that fall under Caesar Water, who manages and supplies our water. So, Sipho, I'm going to go to Stanger and start with the basics. In the last financial year, Ilembe District lost over 106 million rand worth of water. Water that was paid for but never reached homes. Now, meanwhile, the municipality has failed to spend a significant portion of its grant funding. By the second quarter of 23-24, it had used only 39% of its municipal infrastructure grant, despite daily water outages affecting schools, clinics, and households. And Ilembe is also falling short in infrastructure management. I mean, the National Treasury considered withdrawing 55 million to underperformance. So the numbers show that funding is available, yet here we are. So where we standing, the residents are not having proper functioning services. You, as a resident of Stanger, born and bred there, what is your lived-in experience of this currently?
You know, Penny, it is a very, very, very sad situation I think most residents have to deal with on an ongoing basis. The current situations that most residents in Stanger, and I'm talking about Stanger CBD, we're looking at the places like Glenhill, Stanger Manor, Stanger Heights, Blythedale, Zimkhwazi, New Gilderland, throughout most of the entire north part of Kwadukusa, on an ongoing basis, without a doubt in my mind, I can say that on a daily basis, most people don't have water. I know with Stanger Manor, they have their water supply cut off. We could call it effectively water shedding in the evening. So generally around about 6 o'clock in the evening, Ilembe decides to cut off supply from the reservoir to residents. and they'll only then open up the taps once again at about 5-6 o'clock in the morning, which, to be honest, is really unfair considering that most residents still require water from, I mean, at 6 o'clock in the evening, most people have gotten back from work.
Mm-hmm.
They need to cook. They need to have a shower. They need to still live their regular lives, which involves them using water.
Yeah.
And once you cut that supply off, it makes life very difficult. And to add, you know, further injury to the matter, most people in these areas will tell you that Ilembe does not send water tankers.
Yeah.
Very rarely would you find water tankers. I mean, you would have to have, most of the time you'd have humanitarian organizations sending out their own private water tankers just to supply water. So it is a very difficult situation for most residents on a daily basis. And this is, it's not like they're not paying rates.
Yeah.
It's not like they're not paying.
It's a rate-paying community.
Rate-paying communities.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was there, I interviewed a lot of the residents just to, you know, to hear their pain. And there was such a sense of, I think, hopelessness. You know, the anger wasn't there anymore. And while I was there, I visited the local mosque, and they have actually put a borehole in the ground. And they, as a service to the community, do supply water to a lot of the communities who come in there in buckets and fill it up. And you think that the, you know, the municipality, Lembe municipality, would step up. I just want to bring in the proposed water tariffs. So we are looking at a 9.5% increase, almost a double digit territory increase, and well above the current inflation. Now, most residents feel they're being gaslit by this bloated system of career politicians who show no empathy for the struggling majority. And one of the things that came up when I was interviewing the residents is that they never see the ward councillors or their politicians. They only come to the community when there is an election cycle, unfortunately. What is your stance as a political opposition party on the tariff increases, and maybe even as a resident? How do they justify increasing the tariff to such an extent, yet they don't give them a proper service on a, you know, on a daily basis?
Well, Penny, as Action SA, we are 100% against the tariff increase.
Yeah.
I think at this point in time, it's unfair to burden the already encumbered rate-paying citizens of Ilembe. You know, if we look at the current economic situation that we're in, people already are heavily financially burdened.
Yeah.
And then to increase the tariffs by such an exorbitant amount really adds a further burden onto them. And if you look at it, the current rates collection, I mean, the current collection rate for Ilembe is dismally low.
Yeah.
And once you add these tariff, once you bring in these tariff increases, but on the other hand, you've got these tariff increases, but the services aren't matching up
to
it.
Yeah, that is the problem. You know, when you say dismally low, is that because people can no longer afford to pay what they're being charged? Or is it they're just fed up and they're saying, you know what, you guys are not giving us a water. You're not providing a basic service. So why are we continually being charged for a service that isn't reaching our homes?
I believe it's a number of issues.
Yeah.
So on one hand, we obviously, it's the fact that most people can't afford.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Then you also have the other aspect where people feel like they shouldn't be paying for something they're not receiving.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a basic service.
It's a basic service. Yeah. I mean, as you mentioned at the beginning, we know that on an ongoing basis, majority of Stanger does not have water on a daily basis.
Yeah.
From certain times to certain times. So why would you feel it necessary to pay for something that you know you're not getting on a consistent basis?
Yeah.
And then the third issue is that the billing process, or should I say the meter reading and then billing process, is an issue, because you have residents that get billed an X amount of money a month and they know that's the amount, and then suddenly, come month three or month four, Ilembe then slaps them with a bill that's 3-4 times, maybe 5 times the amount that what they've been usually paying.
Yeah.
And so you're adding further injury. So all these things contribute to the low collection rate that Ilembe has been facing. I mean, Ilembe always sets very high targets, 60-70%, but we generally only manage 40-30%
That's collection. Very low. And tell me, you know, they've had a lot of bulk infrastructure projects on the go. There were 3 major bulk projects. And a lot of them, when I looked through the documents and past drafts and IDPs, they had said that they were possibly looking at completion 2025 coming through. Is, you know, what is the status on this? Is this some of the reasons why, you know, Ilembe District Municipality is failing so dismally as a water provider to the, you know, to the residents of Stanger and the surrounding areas that they service?
I do know there are a number of projects. The large portion of those projects will generally supply or at least deal with a number of the water supplying issues within areas such as Ndwedwe, Mapumulo, Mandini. But at the end of the day, when we look at Ilembe, the large portion of the revenue comes in from KDM. And unfortunately, for the most part, they haven't really addressed the water supply issue for KDM. Yeah. I know in this current draft budget, they have brought in a budget of about 12 million for this financial year and then an additional 23 million in the following financial year to refurbish and reinstate the Amvoti water treatment plant.
I feel that's been going on for a while now. I read that every year in the RDP.
It's been something that has been ongoing. They have put money to it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, when it comes to these projects, a lot of the times it's plagued with poor management, poor project management, poor funding, financial management. And then a lot of the times these projects either are never completed or they're not completed on time.
And the contractors are also an issue.
So
The construction mafia goes there as well and interferes. There's a whole plethora of issues. I want to just weave back to the current financial year's statements. Now, the municipality budgeted 18 million rand for water tanker services. And that amount was depleted within the first 3 months. So in the last financial year that we're looking at, 23-24, Ilembe's total annual spent on water services shot past 120 million rand. Now, we all witness what is happening at local government level, up to national level. Officials get tenders and they use those to loot public funds that should be going to the upliftment of communities. Now, without getting too heated, surely this is another example of political profiteering, where infrastructure is deliberately, those are the allegations, infrastructure is deliberately sabotaged to create dependency on a bloated outsourced service. And when you look at it, who's benefiting from the tanker contracts? I've actually been there and witnessed them using the municipal fire hydrant to fill up these water tankers to take them to the community. They're actually using municipal water, which is supplied by the municipality, and yet they are, you know, we are paying as ratepayers 120 million rand to the service. Was there any transparency in these contracts when they were awarded? Are there political connections? Can I just tell you what I have looked at? So one of these contracts I found, it was a cleaning company listed on government procurement site, which was also linked to several contracts at a Stanger hospital. There was also a transport company whose two directors were arrested for fraud in 2023. That was the one company also who had the contract for the water tankers. And then there was a civil company that's done extensive construction work for local government, and they're also in on that. So this, obviously, when a normal person's looking at this, raises red flags. What kind of oversight exists in this? What is actually being said? Because surely this is a stopgap. And I feel like this is actually a long-term solution to this problem. Supplying water tanks, which are costing the ratepayers 120 million rand a year. What is your thought on this?
Well, Penny, I have a saying that I've learned to adopt in politics. Where there's smoke, there's generally a fire.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the water tankers, yes, you're correct. We did budget 18 million, and within the first quarter, that was depleted. And then an item was brought to council subsequent, post facto, that we have, under a cost containment item, it was brought to us saying that we've now spent a total of 120 odd million. Well, actually, at that time, it was about 100 odd something million. And then they asked for a further 20 million allocation
after the 100 million.
After the already 100 million in, a further 20 million allocation to continue with these hiring of water tankers. And obviously, at that time, we were given an understanding that they were purchasing or at least procuring, in the process of procuring, water tankers.
Their own water tankers.
Their own water tankers.
Okay.
There have been delays in that matter. Okay. I do believe we have received a portion, at that time we had received a portion. I believe now we've received the full regimen of the tankers.
Yeah.
That's still yet to be seen. I do know they had a major unveiling, but we do know the unveiling only showed the first allocation of the tankers.
How much was the budget to purchase their own water tankers?
I don't have the amounts on hand off head.
I think,
but it's a hefty amount. I mean, we're looking at well into the tens, if not hundreds, of millions.
Yeah.
And it's only yet to be seen as to whether that is really going to benefit the public, because the problem is that while KDM has a lot of infrastructure put in place, there's places such as Ndwedwe, Mapumulo, Mandini, and these places, because of the lack of water infrastructure that's been put in place due to poor planning, poor project management, these places rely heavily on water tankers. So it's still yet to be seen as to whether these water tankers would actually benefit your rate paying communities as opposed to other areas. So
I know the opposition parties are placing the water function would they consider placing the water function under administration or even moving it towards a regional water board model to take full control? I mean, you've looked at this. The figures are alarming. The homes are not getting water. They're failing to spend their grants. Where do you reach a boiling point? Where is there a pivotal change where you think, you know what, enough is enough. This municipality administratively is not functioning. You know, there's no financial recourse or oversight in their finances. Surely there has to be a groundswell to try and, you know, capitulate this into higher arches of government, possibly, you know, calling on opposition parties and civic organizations to place the water function under administration or take it away from the current administration. Or is that too extreme?
You know, Penny, it's not an extreme idea.
Yeah.
When I first came into council, knowing the issues we have with the Ilembe, and this is obviously coming from KDM's perspective, I'm not sure if most residents were aware of this, but before Ilembe, KDM was actually in charge of supplying water.
Okay. Now, I actually didn't even know that as well.
Yes. So
how many years are we talking now?
We're talking initial stages of KDM's inception.
Okay. Because would you say about 20 years ago?
Yeah, because district municipalities are a fairly recent phenomenon.
Yeah.
And obviously that brings into play the Amvoti water treatment plant. So that was the infrastructure that KDM had in place to supply water.
Okay.
And at that point in time, there were very few, if none, no water wells. So when I came into council initially, and this was during our induction phase, you know, I had raised the question as to whether if it'd be possible to bring back the water function under KDM. Because when you look at it, KDM provides a large portion of the revenue that comes to Ilembe.
Yeah.
But in return, KDM isn't receiving the services
that's
due to them. So I felt, listen, it would be better that if that function be given to KDM, because while we can take it up to a higher water body authority, unfortunately, sometimes the higher up you go, the more difficult it becomes to manage these things. I mean, for example, it went from a local municipality to a district municipality and clearly fell apart. Yeah. So the concern is, if we take it up further, how much more effective would they be? Because the higher up you go, the more bureaucracy there is, and the less effective they can become.
Yeah. You know, the Public Administration Act is so deeply flawed. You know, you get senior executives who've been given sweeping powers to make decisions behind closed doors, and often there's little to no public disclosure or community participation. And this culture of secrecy has obviously made it incredibly difficult for civil society watchdogs and anyone else to hold anyone accountable. So basically, in this Ilembe structure, we've got an executive team that makes the decisions. Now, that team is made predominantly from ANC councillors. And there's, can you just break it down for me? This executive council team in Ilembe that makes the decisions on the running and how everything's done, how many parties are involved in here?
So you have you've got ANC with the majority.
Yeah.
You've got IFP, you've got EFF, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think DA might be in there.
They've got one
seat. I believe they've got one seat in there, yes. So that's the total makeup of the EXCO itself.
Oh, okay.
And obviously you have your Section 80 committees, which are portfolio committees, finance, infrastructure, et cetera, which is a similar setup to EXCO's allocation. But strangely enough, as Action SA, we've been kept out of those portfolios, even though we've been rightfully allocated a seat. But that is a story for another day, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, you know, I would think that that would be a priority issue for opposition parties to campaign on, and even address directly in the election manifestos going forward, how, you know, taking the powers out of the executive, because they are making decisions on how to spend ratepayer money. And there's no transparency in that. And I think that is why it's so fundamentally flawed, in that, you know, look at what's happening. There's like the elite few that are making so, that are profiteering from tenders, financial systems that are very complicated, and they are so easy to take advantage of. And, you know, I think we are going to be unpacking that in a conversation that's going to be taking place in the run-up to the local elections. I just want to bring us back to the concession area and Caesar Water. Now, I know Action SA has been campaigning quite strongly in various wards for the concession contract to be renewed when it's coming up for renewal in 2029. Can you give us a little bit more background on it? And I know, you know, I mean, I've seen a lot of signatures that have been passed forward on social media platforms on this campaign.
Yes. So, Penny, as I think most of the public aren't actually aware of this, is that the southern part of Kwadukuza, which is generally actually serviced by Caesar Water, is their contract, their concession contract, comes to an end in 2029 because it was a 30-year contract.
Yeah. So as I said, it's they actually started the 30-year in 1999. So Caesar has actually been taking care of the water supply and sanitation in this concession area for almost 30 years, which is coming up, you know, to an end. This concession's coming to an end, 2029. Mm. And there's so much political already. The corridors are, there's a lot of murmurs. And the issue is, if this is a public, a private partnership, will they be renewing it? And obviously, when we look at the northern side and how badly the water situation is, and gosh, forbid that the Lembe district now takes over the running and supplying of water in this region, and what are we going to be facing? So there's a strong concessions on keeping a PPE going, and obviously for the benefit of the community. Tell us how, you know, what traction you guys have been going with this.
So Penny, with the petition, obviously our main goal is to say that we want Caesar Water to remain. So we want the concession.
Do you want Caesar Water to remain, or is it possible that another water board could come in and tender it? Or is this public, a private partnership, you know, for Caesar to continue doing what they're doing? And they've, you know, they do it effectively. It's a private company, let me just say. Private company. So obviously, they don't have to disclose their profits because it's not listed. And they do have a contract with Ilembe District Municipality. I know in the last 2 years, from that's the only really the numbers that I know of, they gave Ilembe District Municipality 72 million rand in profit share from this concession contract. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the agreement was. There's not a lot of information on it in the last, two decades. So you are, as a political party, are petitioning for Caesar per se to remain here and continue doing what they're doing.
Yes, that's correct. So we are petitioning for Caesar Water to remain. We believe if they're doing a good job, then there's no need to change it. But our concern is not so much which company comes in. Our concern is that we just don't want Ilembe to take over. Because if you look at the issues and the plight of people in the north, with Ilembe being as the main water provider, I don't think anyone on the south would want to have to deal with consistent water outages every day. I mean, I learned recently, towards the latter part of last year, that Palm Lakes, an estate, is supplied by Ilembe. And I had received complaints asking, why is our water supply suddenly being cut off in the evenings? So the same plight that Stanger Manor faces, where the water's cut off in the evening.
It's actually water shedding.
So imagine an estate where people obviously have to pay a very hefty price to live in, now have to deal with water issues because their water provider clearly cannot match the demand. So we're of the belief that, listen, Ilembe obviously wants to take over Caesar Water, take over this area simply because of the money.
Yeah, well, they say water is liquid gold. It's the liquid gold, you know, it's our liquid gold. Yeah.
So. And if you look at the profit sharing, I believe the split is 50-50.
Okay.
And if you look at the profit sharing, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So to Ilembe, it's for them looking at how they can double their revenue or add an additional amount of revenue. For us, it's no, we need to preserve the services. People are paying for services. The services is of a very high standard. And people are happy with Caesar Water. I mean, we've currently sitting on over 3,500 signatures, both online and on paper, because while those have access to online, some obviously do not have the access to internet. So we've gone to places such as Shaka's Head. We've gone to places such as Itete on the ground.
What do they think about it? Because they are, you know, those rural and marginalized communities are part of the concession. Yet I was just recently there this week and last week, and the water situation there is actually not great. They don't have portable running, you know, water into the houses. They actually have taps. So the taps obviously don't run out. So that's a thing. But you know, Caesar has had the contract for more than two decades now. And what basically flounders me is how they're still not a basic service to these marginalized communities. They still don't have running water. You know, everyone has to go to the communal taps and fill up their buckets and take them back. And, you know, I put this question to Caesar. I'll come back to what they said. I'll put it to you. You know, you guys have worked closely with the concession areas. What is your take on it? Why are they supplying, well, they've been seen to supply a good service to the rate-paying, you know, upmarket communities, yet there's, you know, the concession areas that they also supply to are really, really underserviced.
No, okay, so obviously Caesar Water, no entity is perfect, whether private or government. There will be flaws, no doubt. But with us being on the ground, we've engaged people. We've asked them as to whether you are happy with Caesar Water remaining as your water service supplier, or would you prefer Ilembe? And I can guarantee you 99.9% of the people we've engaged all say, listen, yes, Caesar does have its issues, but when we compare to Ilembe and what we see happening on on the north, we are quite happy and okay with
because
Caesar
at
water.
Least the taps are flowing.
At least there's water.
You know what? Just to come back to my question on the lack of services, what they said. Now, I'm just going to just use Shaka's Head as an example because it's a close community right on our doorstep in Belito. That community was initially a project to put low cost houses in. And they had only planned for about 800 houses, 800 homes. So the infrastructure that was put there was to accommodate and supply those particular homes. And now the community has grown substantially. We've had, it's almost, I wouldn't even say it's a community anymore. I feel like it's an informal settlement. There are 17,000 people living in there in conditions that are really, it's shocking. It's the reality is very scary. And what has happened? It's grown so substantially that there are no services because there's no infrastructure that has been put there to accommodate that. So Caesar said, as much as they could provide a sewage service there, there's just no piping and there's no water to supply the sewage system there. So the problem is that it's grown so substantially and the services aren't available. So we have a community now, which is almost 17 growing up to almost from 11,000. They've said, the locals said the figures are about 17,000 people there with no basic services. Is this not a hot spot that the politicians in all the councils need to be focusing on?
Penny,
just putting you under the bus here, Sipo.
That's not a problem.
Yeah.
You know, it is a serious concern.
Yeah.
Because when you have a community grow that quickly, that rapidly overnight, it is cause for concern. And obviously, that's of no fault to Caesar Water. Unfortunately, when development happens in an unplanned manner, unfortunately, you're going to have these issues where infrastructure could not be put in place in time. And if Caesar Water were to go in today and try to put in infrastructure, certain homes would have to be bulldozed because how do you plan to put in infrastructure in a place that event that, in essence, was not a planned structured area.
And to quite Kuz's credit, it's also, you know, it was also a problem that landed on their doorstep as well, because they haven't accommodated it. And there were a lot of illegal people who've obviously used the might of the law to continue invading that land and grow the community. But that's a conversation for another day. I know we're running out of time, Sipho, so I'm going to actually draw you into just a final topic of conversation, which everyone's talking about, is the 35.7 million rand heist. So for our listeners, the 35.7 million hack that took place on the 31st of January from the municipality's primary bank account into 15 accounts, the municipality, I believe, has managed to get back 30 million or so. They recently went to the High Court to get an interdict to one of the accounts that received 4.4 million rand. The bank wouldn't give them the details. They had to go to High Court to get an interdict to allow them to freeze that account. What is happening right now? Because, you know, there was so much social media. There was a furious scramble on social media when ABSA presented an internal report into a closed committee council meeting, and it listed the 15 recipients of that 35.7 million rand. And some of the recipients that I went through line item by line item, they've been linked to the local wards. One of the recipients was linked to the mayor's wife who works in a salon. There was a local councillor working as an AIDS counsellor. There's a lot of names, you know, and the amounts that went into their accounts. Yet we're sitting here and there's been nothing. It's just like crickets. No arrests, nothing. No criminal case. Is that the case? Because I don't see a lot of chatter about it, other than the report that was given to council by APSA.
So, yes, Penny, you are correct in that. That there has been a sudden lull on the matter. I know as council, we took a resolution that we ought to be updated every fortnight on the matter. But clearly, they haven't upheld that. But I think, Penny, the main issue here is this, is that you did mention that we have a High Court order in terms of liquidating the shell company, which is what I want to call it. It's a shell company.
So are we able to name this company on air, or is it still, it's public information on social media, but it's as right now, they're all allegations or not?
So I won't name the company on air, but I think people know where to find the information to figure out what the company is.
The owner of that company, it was also a generic name when I did a search on it as well, and there were like 10 names listed. And you know what was quite puzzling is that the banks were able to freeze that the funds. However, two accounts, that particular account and another one, the money that went straight there was removed almost instantly. So they were very aware that they were going to be receiving a large sum of money, and they had to move it very quickly, because the 4.4 million rand, I think they've only been able, the interdict has only gone for, is it 4 million, or are they going to try and get the full amount?
I believe it's the full amount, because we're obviously looking at liquidation.
Yeah. And then other account, they weren't able to retrieve. I think they took out, 800,000 went in there, but unfortunately they were not able to retrieve the 300,000 as it stands. And you know what was, it was so baffling to me is the workers. So there was a breach last year in August, and 4 weeks later, second breach happened, and the CFO did a very, very in-depth report to council, presented it to the municipal manager, and he alerted him to the grave possibility of a big hap happening, because the financial systems were vulnerable, and he requested a external forensic audit team to come in and assess the situation throughout the departments to see where the vulnerabilities were. This was presented in council on the 30th of October. Were you there when this was presented?
Yes, Penny, I actually was. And I'm glad you brought this up. Because while everything that has hit the news is unfortunately just a consequence of the MM's incapability. Because when you look at when there's obviously a code of conduct that all staff must adhere to. And within the Systems Act, There's a clause that states that every employee, every staff, must always act in the best interest of the municipality. Now, you have the CFO that brings the report that says that we have been breached, our financial integrity is compromised, something needs to be done. So, as the municipal manager, who is the accounting officer, who is, at the end of the day, the head.
Yeah, the buck
of the administration.
Him, yeah.
The person you would expect to at least get things going in terms of mitigating against this is him. And yet, we see this report, it was brought to us, and from the time it was brought to us, nothing was done. And it's evident that the money gone missing, taken out of the account,
yeah,
is a direct result of him not acting on what was initially
and
brought
to
council.
And he was mandated by council. When exactly. There was a resolution passed, the council said, okay, we are giving you a mandate now to go ahead with the CFO's recommendations to ensure that the integrity of our financial systems are secured and to obviously dig deep into the two breaches that were luckily stopped and how it happened. But I know we are running out of time, so I think this is not a conversation that is going to end here. We'll be back with more insights next Thursday at 9:30. Thank you so much, Sipho, for joining me today in studio on 88 FM, and we will be keeping this conversation going.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Penny, for having me over here. And thank you to all the listeners for listening.